Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
I don't know why you always look like you're about to laugh. Like,
do
every
I?
Time, like, when we look at each other, because we always, when we're doing our intro, it's like we always look at each other so we know we're in sync, I think, when
yeah.
we go to talk together. And you always look at me like you're gonna laugh.
Do I really?
Yeah, and I'm like, why?
Why are you about to laugh? There's nothing funny going on.
What's happening?
I just have a smile on my face. I don't know. I'm just so happy to be recording with you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Aww.
Isn't that cute?
Aww. Actually, today I was like, I am so tired, but at least I'm going to record my podcast and I'm not doing anything else after work because
honestly,
this is all I can tolerate.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm so tired. Like ugh. every single day this week, I have set my alarm to be like, I'm going to get up and work out in the morning before work every day.
Uh-huh.
And every day I have turned it off. Like,
oh yeah.
I cannot do it. I'm so tired. I'm
yeah.
so tired.
Oh yeah. I've been trying to get up. Like I used to wake up at like 7 every morning. I can't do it anymore. I think it's just being on my feet at work all day. Like, I want to stay in bed as long as I possibly can. And that's not me. Usually it's like, I'm up and I'm up and I'm up for the day. Not anymore.
No. Like, honestly, if I had it my way, it would be like naps as well. I'd be napping during
yeah.
the day. Like, I can't because I got too much stuff to do. Because
exactly.
that's like being an adult. It's some bullshit for real.
Being an adult is so overrated.
Oh my gosh. I just, if you are listening to this podcast and you are not yet an adult, like, as in somebody else is paying your bills. Oh my God, please
cherish it.
Cherish these moments. Like, I know it can feel like shit. I know that being a teenager
oh,
is not always the best, but
it
like
sucks.
Just at least hold on to that one shred that like you don't have to work
to pay your bills.
To pay your bills.
You
right.
can work to buy fun things.
Right.
That's one,
or,
like all
or
of
to
my
save
young,
your money or whatever.
All of my young coworkers, I'm like, so you just get like paid. And you can just like get your nails done and buy clothes and go on trips and do, and I'm like, I hate all of you. I'm like, I'm gonna go pay my Spectrum bill now.
Right. Like, it's just like I'm gonna work for someone else.
Yep.
To make money that's gone.
Yeah, immediately.
Almost immediately, because that's what adulthood is.
Yep.
It's just like going outside and breathing and spending $100. Like
yep.
that's my life. Like
yep.
oh man, it's anyway, now that we've sufficiently...
Should we talk about what the movie that we're recapping, covering today?
Yeah, yes. Let's do that. So
really quick, this movie legitimately has a special place in my heart. I know that sounds crazy, but like this movie was like... Anytime I made a new group of friends in high school, I was like, have you ever heard of Teeth? And I would show a whole new group of people this movie just to watch them like... get creeped out and scream and all that. Like, it was the most fun thing to me to do that.
You know, this movie is a trip, man, and it hits different, okay?
Yes, because- we both posted about that because as a kid, I watched it one way, and now in 2021, as a feminist adult woman,
right.
it was a very different viewing experience.
Yes, and I thought I had seen this more recently, but I don't think I had because I was rewatching it. I watched half of it yesterday, and I watched the other half today. And I don't think I've seen it recently. Like, I think I saw it like whenever I was a teenager, like
yeah.
a few times, like my late teens. Maybe I saw it in my early 20s once. And then I don't think I've seen it again since.
Oh, no,
so
I've
been
seen
a really
it.
Long time.
I don't think I've seen it since high school, but I saw it a lot in high school. Like, I can quote parts of it. And like,
oof. Ooh, yeah. But why would you want to?
There was one line, and I didn't write it down, but there's something that the dude Ryan says, and he says it really funny, and I used to always, like, laugh at the way he would deliver this one line, and when he said it this one time, I was like, oh my God, it, like, all came back to me.
I remember where I was the first time I saw this movie. I remember it. I was at an ex-boyfriend's house. He had like a little guest house above their garage, and
okay.
like that's where we would go and hang out.
Of course,
it was, like,
you would.
Me and him, and then like a handful of friends. My friend Thomas was there. He met at
love him
at my wedding. And so like we were all together watching this movie, and I just remember that for the longest time afterwards, if we wanted to make each other laugh, we would just go vagina dentata.
Yes, that's the other thing that like the gynecologist says it in a really. Like comedic way. It's true. Vagina dentata.
I mean, and listen, because there are some confusing things about this movie. Like, it is described as a low budget comedy horror movie.
Yeah.
And
I describe it a lot of times as being either campy or kind of like Sharknado.
It's campy, but the problem with classifying it as a comedy to me is that the sexual assault in it is so graphic and triggering to me. I have trouble classifying it as a comedy.
I agree. And I didn't know that it was classified as a comedy. I always thought that it was like really horribly acted and stuff like that. No, that was on purpose. It's like the way that the film is supposed to be is kind of this cheesy, overdone dialogue and things like that, which honestly, I think it actually kind of makes the movie more palatable because there is so many very, very graphic scenes where I feel like if it was all super dark and intense and we couldn't laugh at the funny way the gynecologist says vagina dentata or things like that, that it would be impossible to get through this movie.
I do think
it's rough because it's not a comedic circumstance. It's just that the tone of it at times and the way it was written, I think, was supposed to be campy. And the best way to say that, I guess, is comedy, but I never thought of this movie as being a comedy.
Right. I don't know whether intentional or not, the moments of levity do help to relieve that tension that gets built up. But then I have to wonder, like, should it be relieved in that way? Because does it take away from the horror of what's just happened?
Well, you know? And the thing is that this movie was written, directed, and written and directed by a guy.
Right.
What was his name? Mitchell
Lichtenstein.
Lichtenstein.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things in a lot of the articles that I read was like, can you have a... Because their intention with this was to make it kind of a feminist commentary on sexual assault and rape and things like that. And then also this fascination with this mythological idea of vagina dentata. Can you truly get that point across from someone who hasn't lived it themselves or that doesn't have the same understanding? I think that's a question for a lot of people who viewed this movie because it is being told from a male perspective.
Right. A male writer. Well, yeah, and a male director. I think having, even if it was a male writer, I think having a female director would have changed a lot about how we view this movie.
Yeah.
Because little things such as like camera angles, who we're focusing on, those decisions that directors make.
Right. And what would be seen as maybe too graphic? What would be seen as more tasteful? Maybe a woman would have been a little bit more sensitive.
Right. I mean, and I'm not even opposed to, because like, just so you know, listeners, they do show you like the severed penises. We didn't even talk about what this movie was about. So this movie is about a young woman who has vagina dentata, which is basically like she has
teeth. It means toothed vagina,
right,
in Latin.
Her vagina. And when she feels threatened, basically like as a defense mechanism, her body will react.
Will
and
fight
so
back.
There are, because almost every man in this movie is a rapist.
Except for her dad. Literally every dude in this movie is the worst.
And her dad is like super chill, but has the worst son in the world.
We're going to get to that because the parents are at fault here. I'm sorry. Really? I blame this whole thing on the parents. Fuck them.
Because like the We're parents gonna get there. Seem like good parents, but then like how?
You how? Know? How? Yes. So this movie just follows this girl. And another very important thing about this movie is that the main character, Dawn, is also part of the purity movement. She gives speeches for why it's important to remain abstinent till marriage. And she advocates for wearing purity rings.
In large part, probably because she knows that her vagina is dangerous.
But she doesn't actually know. But maybe there's something inside of her that
knows. I think
that
she does have an inkling of that. I think she does, because in the beginning, so the movie opens with her and her stepbrother sitting in a kiddie pool. Their parents are either just about to get married or
they're not married yet.
They're about to.
Because he says, the stepbrother says, she's not my sister. And then the dad is like, well, not yet. No. And like looks over at the
mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so they're sitting in like a kiddie pool
and
together.
They're probably like aged 4 and like
young.
6,
yeah.
Maybe. Like
yeah.
They're really young.
Young. And, you know, he's a creep right from the jump. Like, little kid. He's a little asshole.
This kid has
already
a potty mouth and all this stuff. And I'm like, how are... And he's saying, like, screw you or whatever to the mom. And as the dad, I'm like, how are you letting any of this fly?
Well, the dad tried to step in. And then the mom said, oh, no, he's just a boy. Like,
I know.
Leave him alone. And I'm like, look, man, the dad did try to parent. And the mom was like, it's fine. He can call me whatever. Like, no, no.
No. No. I just don't get it. She's like, oh, just let it go. And I'm like, fuck no. And then the other thing about this scene, so the two kids are sitting in a kiddie pool together, and the boy, the brother, at one point is like, okay, you saw mine, let me see yours. So they're doing the kid thing
you saw mine, by the way, because I pulled it out. Not I because show like you. Because yeah. kids do do that. Like kids have yeah. conversations oh, yeah. where they're like, let me see it, and then yeah. like oh, whatever. But that's not what happened here. He's a little creep from the jump. I don't care that he's six. Okay.
And we know this because he asks to see hers, and then a minute later, he starts screaming, and his finger is almost like severed off.
Right.
But the parents don't ask what happened. They're in a kiddie pool. There's not biting fish in there. What do they think happened?
So they ask her, they're like, Dawn, are you okay?
And she doesn't say anything.
She's clearly fine, though. And I'm like, you don't have any questions? Like
how? Are you hurt? Are you okay? What
bit your finger?
Yeah.
Like, what bit your finger off? You know, but
and
it's
then the,
because
but then
of
the
that.
Brother, like, represses it. Like, neither of them remember this instance.
I think he does remember.
Remember he says with his finger that he doesn't know how he got it, but he thinks his sister bit him?
I know he says that.
Then why does he want to have sex with her so bad?
But, okay, we're going to get there. But, like, he doesn't have sex with his girlfriend in her...
Vagina. Yes.
Right? So I think he has a fear
but
of vaginas.
But I think it's like an internal... I don't think he knows why he has that fear.
I think so. But okay.
Okay.
But we're good.
Maybe
we're good.
I'm looking too much into
because
this.
Because I think she does know. I think that that's part of why she's part of this purity culture movement. Because
yeah.
I think she thinks that that is a woman's biology. Because also a part of this movie is a critique on purity culture. I think it's a critique on the lack of sex education in our schools. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't know what her body is supposed to be like. She doesn't know what other women's bodies are like.
Exactly.
So I think she thinks it's just part of a woman's biology.
Right.
That like this is part of their biology.
Yeah.
And so I think that that can be very like closely linked with the purity movement in terms of like maybe if you do it the right way.
This won't happen.
Like this is like maybe this is... This happened because it was outside of
marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Interesting.
But that's maybe just my evangelical.
No, and I think both could be right.
Yeah. It's about perspective.
I read something interesting because I love reading the IMDb trivia to any movie that I watch. So, of course, I pulled it up last night while I was watching it. And I guess the neighborhood where they filmed that opening scene, mm-hmm. they tried to get it shut down because they thought they were shooting porn.
Right. Well, I read a really great Vice article.
Oh, where, I think I read the same one.
Yeah, yeah. And they were talking about that. It wasn't just that location. It was the location scout they hired. So they hired a location scout. And the location scout had secured a bunch of locations for them because they needed a hospital location, a school location, house locations. And he'd scouted a bunch of places for them. And then he read the script and then was like, I will no longer work for you. And then went to all of the locations and told them all
what the movie was about.
And didn't even tell them what it was about. Was just like, they're filming a porn here. You shouldn't let them film here. And so they lost a bunch of their shooting locations and had to find a bunch of new shooting locations.
That sucks.
It really sucks.
That like really, really, really sucks.
Yeah.
All right. So the next scene after that. Oh, and I forgot to mention in the beginning, and I feel like this is very glossed over in the movie. The opening shot before we get to the kiddie pool, we see a nuclear power plant.
Yes. Which they don't talk about.
They don't talk about it, but they show it again at the end. So I'm like, okay, are we supposed to think that she got this because she is living close to a nuclear power plant? Because if so, you should talk about that.
Right. Or the other thing that I thought about was the mom has a terminal illness for basically the whole movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that because they're near a nuclear power plant?
Like, I mean,
it's never addressed.
I feel like it would have been really helpful to either not show us the nuclear plant
right?
or to explain the nuclear plant. Right. That was one thing that I was like, wait,
it
what?
It brings literally nothing to the storyline if you're not going to like talk about it. Like, we just,
you see it in the opening shot and in the ending shot.
Right.
That's
and
it.
It's right behind their house.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're supposed to take from it.
I don't know either. They should have been more clear.
They really should have been, because now look at us.
Look at us now.
Why?
Why?
But
my thinking was that, like, she, you know, was bathing in water with a nuclear plant and it made her vagina grow teeth. I don't know. Like, is that what we're supposed to think?
Unclear.
You're just staring at me. I don't know. Well, okay. Let's move on to the next scene where Dawn is... preaching essentially to a group of children. And I've got to say, these look like the most brainwashed children, like responding in like the exact way they're supposed to. But honestly, I think
to my childhood.
I know, but also the Catholic Church is like that too. Yeah. Like the priest says something, the whole congregation repeats. But there's something about children singing together or speaking together in unison that kind of creeps me out.
When I saw this movie, I was still a virgin. And I very much adhere, like not, maybe not at the time I watched this, but like just previously, like literally like 6 months prior, was actively like wearing my purity ring in this mentality 100%. Yeah. So I attended.
Did you go to any of these like meetings? Well, yeah, we talked about this. You would go to these like meetings and stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like they would have them at your youth groups, or if you were to go on any mission trips or to any conferences, like they would have these events, like right. where people would come and they would speak specifically about purity. That was yeah. something that was talked about a lot because horny teenagers.
I was just gonna say, because when you're teenagers, yeah. exactly. So at first she warns the girls not to give their gift away to just any boy, but then she turns to the boys and asks, are you just gonna give it to someone who looks like they just walked out of a music video?
And they're like, no.
All the boys are like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, fucking right. Okay. And why are you making it sound like a girl in a music video is a bad thing, Dawn? I don't appreciate that.
But yeah.
Then she tells the boys that sex is only for the mother of their children.
Yeah. And then we meet Toby, who looks straight up like a Jonas brother. Like, I really oh, yes. feel like they did that on purpose. Like,
honestly, I think Toby's kind of cute. He's a piece of shit in the movie, but the actor who plays him, I think, is really cute.
I would have liked him a lot in high school. Like, yes. he was very much the kind of guy who, if I had met him at Christian camp, would have yeah, had a crush on like, him for sure.
Kind of nerdy and awkward, but still really good looking.
But doesn't blink nearly enough, which is a little no. weird. Like, very intense eye contact, which is unnerving.
Yes. And so Dawn is introduced to Toby, and it kind of seems like Dawn is new in town, yet it looks like they're living in the same house as they did as kids, but Toby, she's going to a new school.
Toby is new in town.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay, Toby is new in town. Mm-hmm. They get introduced to each other, and it's like the romantic comedy, like, you know, the background gets fuzzy and the music plays and they lock eyes and it's like, oh, hi. And then she sees that he's wearing his purity rings. And she's like...
Which are red for some reason. I've never seen a red purity ring in yeah, my life.
It's like a red plastic...
It was a low-budget film. They were like, go to Party City and find what you can find.
I think the red is possibly, one, because it's going to show up better on film, or two, a symbolic color for the blood
I definitely feel like it is a symbolic color. And I think it was done deliberately because I'm like, I've seen many a purity ring in my life, and I have never seen one that looks like that.
Yeah, and there's like posters with the ring on it. Like, it's a very like prominent image in the movie as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I mean, these are the things where I'm like, I feel like this is why we're supposed to think it's a comedy. Not that specifically, but that her devotion to the purity movement
is so intense.
It's something that even having grown up, again, it within circles like this,
yeah,
I knew lots of... All of my friends had purity rings, and I had a purity ring. I don't know a single person who spent their time at home listening to purity songs and bedazzling their true love weights t-shirts yeah. or whatever the fuck. Like, never in my life.
That is where the comedy comes in,
right?
I think,
where I'm just like, this is exaggerated,
so over the top. I love that I watch everything with closed captions now, because I was able to read the lyrics to one of the songs she was listening to in her room, and I was dying.
And oh, that song,
is it a real song?
I don't know, but
because I was thinking, I'm like, they had to have written this for the movie.
It's hilarious. Because it also sounds a little bit like late 90s alternative girl pop.
Yeah,
but it's like all about like Jesus wants you to wait.
Yeah. It's like, it's all about like saving your love.
And that's
all
like
that.
Her like, easy God. Listening at
yeah,
home.
Yeah. She's just chilling.
So weird. It's
her
so
whole
weird.
Life is about not having sex yes. and also talking about sex. These kids talk more about sex than I think I ever did as
well,
a kid.
You have to, because if you are like thinking about not having sex, you're thinking about sex.
Exactly.
Like, that's just the way that it goes.
Exactly. Let's talk a little bit about when she gets home from this meeting, because this is when we're kind of introduced to what her home dynamic is. We get home and there's like loud music playing from the stepbrother's room, so we know he didn't grow up to be like a well-functioning member of society.
Not any loud music. It's like metal.
It's like death metal heavy.
So it's, you know, very that loud. He's a bad kid.
He's real bad. Anyone who listens to death metal is a bad kid. You hear to hear first. I'm just kidding. In the next scene, Dawn is like getting ready for bed and brushing her teeth, and her stepbrother like jumps out of the shower and scares her. I would have punched him in the face. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, there's very much like a angel devil dynamic here, because like she is so like pristine, pure, and she's virginal,
blonde, blue eyes, very like, you know,
she wears like the white nightgowns, 19th century '90s. Like it's bananas.
It's really bananas. And he's got, you know, pretty much a shaved head.
Looks like he smells like stale cigarettes, and he's got mutton chops.
Yeah.
And how can we also listen? How that man is at least 27.
Oh yeah. How old is he supposed to be?
He's only supposed to be a couple years older than her.
That's what I thought. I'm like, is he supposed to like just be out of high school? Because I'm like, why is this person still living in their house?
And he also makes note that he shouldn't still be living at home. Mm-hmm. So I think we're supposed to take it that he's in his 20s. But I'm like, when they were in the kiddie pool together, they were definitely only like a year or two apart. Like yeah. It wasn't like they were very far apart.
Well, she's probably toward the end of her high school years, and he's probably been out for a couple years, something like
that. So maybe he's 20? He is not 20.
I don't know. He looks old as fuck.
That man is like creeping towards 30, 100%.
But I mean, that makes him even more terrifying, because he really is a horrifying looking human being.
And he's a really bad guy. I mean, like, you meet the girl he's with, and their relationship is real, like, weird. You know, it's abusive. Like, he's pretty, like, controlling.
Yeah.
He only will have sex with her anally. And I think that that's kind of like the movie saying that he's
afraid of vaginas,
although he has a lot of naked pictures of women on his wall. So I feel like he's definitely been exposed to his fair share of porn. So he has to know.
He's sexed up, but he won't have intercourse vaginally. I mean, there's plenty of other ways to have sex. Like, he does seem like he's a horn dog, but he just won't have sex.
Right, but
vaginally.
The thing is, like, because, well, in my viewing of it, I was like, okay, he doesn't want to have sex vaginally because it imprinted on him the one time he put his fingers where they didn't belong and almost lost the tip of his finger, yeah. Right? So, like, maybe he's afraid because of that.
Totally, yeah.
But I'm like, surely you've seen porn. Right?
Yeah, but maybe, like, you've seen it, but you still don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's the same with any phobia. It's like, you know that, like, for everybody, it's not a fear, but for you, it feels like a real fear.
Yeah, that's true.
So he can look at it. He just doesn't want to get his junk anywhere near it. Mm, you know what I mean?
Valid. Okay.
You know?
Okay.
All right. So the next scene is them in health class. And this is what we were talking about, the lack of sex education.
And this isn't even that much satire. Like, no. This is pretty
real.
Close to like what a lot of people, I think, experience in sex ed classes.
This is pretty funny, though, because we see a diagram of, like, you know, the side of a penis that's like cut open so you can see all the insides and whatever.
Which I always thought was gross.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not gross. It's not gross. But I always was like weirded out by that, like the fact that it's cut in half.
I know, because you're thinking about it being cut in half.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an interesting image to have in your head. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about the male reproductive parts or whatever, and then they decide to go to the vagina, and there's this like abnormally large golden sticker on it.
It takes up the entire page.
The whole page, and everyone's like trying to rip the sticker off, and they're like, why can't we see it? We saw the man's, and the health teacher's like, oh, it's just different. And Dawn's like,
which is ludicrous.
It's ludicrous. And Dawn's like, well, I think women have a more natural modesty.
And she gets laughed at.
Yep.
In class.
Yep.
And Toby is the only one who was like, I understand, Dawn.
I see you, Dawn.
I see you.
I think you're real smart, Dawn. I see you. I want to talk, like, I know this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but I did want to mention the diagram of the vagina that was in the textbook when she gets the sticker off. That's not a diagram. That is just a woman's very graphic vagina with her legs spread. That was not a diagram. That wasn't the ovaries and all that.
Yes.
It was literally like a hairy vagina.
It's not what would be in your textbook.
It would not be. Right. Like that. Yes. I understand why there's a big ass sticker.
That's
over
so
that.
Funny to me, because maybe something's broken in my brain that didn't even register for me.
Did it?
When I saw it.
I was like, that's not a diagram of a vagina. It's literally a vulva.
We all know, you know, if you did have sex ed where they at least showed you that like female reproductive system diagram, we all know what that looks like.
The cervix and the ovaries.
You see
and
the fallopian.
This and that.
You know, you see everything. It's but not
this
like
is
a,
literally just like someone took a drawing of a woman with her legs spread and she had a very hairy.
Which also, you know, again, we are jumping ahead, but just go with us, everyone.
Yes.
Like also, she does that because she wants to see, like, she's like, I need to see what other women's parts look like.
Right.
So that I know if mine is normal.
Normalize looking at your own genitals. Let's right, just absolutely. Say that right now. Get a mirror down there.
Up in there. You don't have to do it a lot, but like do it once at least. You know, but I will say, I don't think, because it seemed to me, okay, and maybe I'm wrong, that every time the vagina went crunch,
mm-hmm.
it was pretty far in. Like, I feel like her teeth are pretty yeah. far in there. Like,
it's
I
not going to be like...
You wouldn't see them. And in fact, you definitely don't see them because the gynecologist doesn't see them. Like,
no.
So I don't think that looking at that diagram would actually tell her anything. Like,
no, but I think there was still that like... What is down there? Like, I don't think she has any idea of what's down there because of that fear that she has. She
right.
does not know what's going on. So even if she's not going to be able to see the teeth, I think she's kind of like, there's something going on. And I need to at least kind of know what.
But she reacted
is.
To that photo as though like, oh, this is confirmation that I'm yeah, weird. And I'm yeah. like, well, you don't really see inside in that photo because like right. you said, it's like the angle of it is basically like straight on if you were to spread someone's legs and look straight on.
For real, yeah. You know? Like it is weird that she would
we're
come
not supposed
to
think about it this critically.
It. Yeah, they weren't expecting a feminist podcast like 15 years later to be talking about it. Okay, so let's talk about when the friends go to hang out. She's got these friends that are a couple, and then she and Toby are with them.
Another abstinent true love waits couple.
Yes,
for sure. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Although I was noticing that the girl, she's wearing like a shorter skirt. She's got a little purse and they're making out during the movie, where I feel like her friend is maybe a little bit less devoted to it than she is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because like they're at the marquee trying to decide what to see. And the kid's like, let's see this movie. And the girlfriend's like,
Toby was like, let's see this movie.
Toby, I thought the other guy said that.
Oh, maybe you're right.
And the girl, because the girl's like, it's rated R, and they were like, oh, we can't see it. And then Dawn's like, yeah, and even PG-13 is gonna have some pretty heavy making out.
Yeah, so they end up going to see like a kids movie.
Yeah,
they go to see a kids movie together.
And then the couple's like making out during the kids movie. It's very bizarre. It's very, very weird.
And there's a lot of tension between Toby and Dawn throughout this entire thing, right?
Yes.
Like, you're supposed to be like, this is the first time she's felt like true infatuation with somebody, right?
Exactly. So then afterwards, they must have gone to this movie like in the afternoon or in the morning because it's still light out when they leave.
Yes.
And they go to this like swimming hole, forest, wooded area. And again,
which
it's
as
like,
Midwesterners, we gotta know. Like, that's a thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Going to like a lake.
Oh, I felt that.
Yeah.
Like, you would just go to a spot and you would just hang out there all night and just do shenanigans and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I felt that in my soul. So they're at this like swimming hole, which they're like, oh, is this like a lover's lane? And they're like, at night it is. And there, Dawn and Toby are chatting, and Toby confesses to Dawn that he had had sex the year before, but he's been rattled with guilt ever since.
Right. Well, it's because, you know, he asks her, like, oh, no one's ever even, like, seen it, and she's like, no, never.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I'm a virgin or whatever, and aren't you? And he says, yeah. And she's like, whew, like, such relief. And then he says, in his eyes, and the most ominous music plays.
Yep.
Like, you would think that he just confessed to murder. Like, the most ominous music plays, and you can see her, like, expression fall. Like, she's like, oh, no.
But then he, like, explains, he's like, but I've been wrecked with guilt ever since. And then she kind of, like, lightens up, and she's like, oh, okay. And then she says to him that she thinks he's actually stronger because he's seen the dangers firsthand.
Right. So brave. Because
so brave.
All vaginas have teeth.
Yeah.
So, like, wow, what a man.
What a man.
He can handle
survived.
It.
You know? So, and then it's later that night, you know, Dawn is really into Toby and she's maybe feeling a little frisky. And so she is thinking about pleasuring herself. And in doing so, we are again seeing that this... Is she wearing tulle to bed? It looked like there was tulle
so
in that nightgown.
I noticed that as well. I think it's a mix between... I think that was an artistic choice.
Oh, because it becomes the wedding dress.
Right, because she's also obsessed with planning her wedding, which is, I also feel like, a very big thing in purity culture, because again, you can't have sex until you get married.
You're so only she like draws pictures of her wedding dress all every, the time.
And puts them up all over her walls and stuff. And like, I do think that that is a common theme in purity culture that we didn't even touch on in our
episode. Why are people in purity culture so obsessed with sex? It's weird.
Well, because it makes sense.
It does make sense, but at the same time, it's so fucking weird, because I'm like, then stop talking about it.
Well, and
so
you're
much.
Not only obsessed with sex, you're obsessed with the idea of true love. Like, you're obsessed with love and romance in a way that I actually think is not healthy now as an adult, because like, you have to have the mentality, if you're only going to have sex with one person and that's the person that you get married to, you have to have the mentality that you have a soulmate and like that person is your soulmate. Like you have to believe that. And so you romanticize that
everything around it
and marriage and all of that stuff to and like it all kind of goes together an intense degree. And so I think when she's like in bed and she's like thinking about touching herself, I think
she's imagining her wedding night and her wedding, which honestly I did too when I was a kid too. Yeah. I would always be like, oh, I'm going to do it in the limo before I get to my reception.
Do you know how many men I met who I was like, or men, boys, they were boys. Yeah. I was a girl.
Child, yeah.
You know, like how many boys I met who I was like, I fantasized.
Oh, yeah.
Our wedding, like, you know, put my last name.
Oh, yeah.
Or their last name on my first name, like did all of that like really ridiculous stuff. Like that's also.
Oh, I still do that. Whenever I date a new guy, I'd be like, how would our last name sound?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then I grew up to be an adult who didn't even change her last name. So
what's up?
That's a thing that happens. But yeah, so I think that the Tulle, because I thought that too. I'm like, Tulle is not comfy. You are not
trying
to sleep in it.
You're not sleeping in that. Yeah, The fantasy becomes real life, where she had actually, in her mind, is like she's actually lying down in bed with the wedding dress. The wedding dress is coming off. Toby's there naked. They're about to do it. And just as she's about to like actually go to touch herself, this image that she saw on the TV of this like creepy toothed fish monster looking
kind of
thing.
Yeah, it had like pincers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like pops into her head as soon as she gets too close. And that like scares her out of doing it. And then she goes to sleep.
Yeah, we should also, I mean, not that this really has a ton to do with the plot. It does a little bit towards the end, but like, I just need to process it because...
What's going on, sweetie?
For some reason, before that, before she goes to bed, she goes into her brother's room.
Oh, yeah.
Her stepbrother's room. Fucking whatever his name is.
Brad.
Brad, of course it is. I was going to say Brad and I was like, no way, it's Brad. Yeah,
no
okay.
way, it's Brad. It is. It's 100%
Brad. So she goes in there and she's like, I just feel like we've never had a sister-brother relationship. And I really want to remedy that. And he's like, you know why we haven't had a sister-brother relationship, like implying that there's like something
sexual
between
tension,
them.
Yeah.
And it is so...
The incest in this movie is crazy. I get that they're not related by blood, but
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. They've been living together their whole lives. Mm-mm. They're siblings. They're siblings, and it's really, really gross, and it gets grosser.
And like what you were saying earlier in terms of like the parents not parenting, how do you not see that like your son is like so inappropriate?
Obsessed.
Like, he's got to go. Like, you need to protect your other child.
And like, he's, like, having... And even if he wasn't going after Dawn, the things that he does in that house are just setting up a horrible living situation. Like, he's having sex with his girlfriend with the
door open.
Like, I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
He's it's a monster. I'm just like, you know that it has to be unsafe. And they're like willfully ignorant to it because the dad says at one point, he's like, Dawn, you're such a blessing to us. And then the mom is like, both of our children are blessings. And I'm like, listen, you might think that your child is a blessing. That's fine. Whatever. It's your child. However, like that to me was kind of the writing telling us that like they ignore a lot of like his very, very, very bad behavior.
Well, obviously, because they're just allowing him to take control over the house and to scare their daughter while she's in the bathroom and all this other stuff that like I can't imagine any parent being okay
with. Which culminates into disaster later in the film.
That's why I said in the beginning, I blame the parents. I blame the parents. They're shitty. They should have gotten that kid in therapy immediately. Why is your son swearing so much? Why is your son so aggressive? Maybe let's get him some help. Huh? Maybe? No? Cool. So swimming hole part two I have in my notes.
Oh, well, okay. So before swimming hole part two, after that dream that she has, she kind of is avoiding Toby and then she gives him a call. They're both in the locker room, sweaty and scantily clad. And she calls him and she's basically like, listen, I feel like the temptation is too much. I feel like we shouldn't see each other, not even in big groups.
Like, not even in a big... And he's like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, me too, totally. So so they agree that they're not going to see each other because they don't want to give in to sexual temptation.
But then literally like... There's a scene where she goes home again, and then the next day she's like, hey, let's hang out.
Right. And I think it did come from
her.
Yeah, but it was like her, it was from that conversation she had with her brother. Like, it made no sense. Like,
it was very weird.
She had a conversation with her brother that was fucked up. Don't get me wrong. But her first instinct was like, well, better call Toby and invite him to the watering hole and bring my swimsuit.
Where you've said yourself, this is like a hookup spot and all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of like, what is she trying to do here?
Right. And again, like whatever was in her mind.
She's not setting herself up for anything. She didn't deserve anything that happened to her. No. But as far as someone who's already said we can't even be in big groups, she's so obsessed with her purity, all this stuff.
This isn't an issue with Dawn. This is an issue with the movie not making her motivation clear.
Exactly.
It didn't make sense for that character.
Why she would go alone to the swimming hole with a man.
Right. It didn't make sense for that character to do that without further explanation. Like, we needed the movie to tell us, like, explicitly how we got to this point.
Right.
Because the way it was done just felt like, okay, we need to move the plot forward.
Right. Like, she changed her mind and decided to invite him anyways. Which is why I was like, you could have cut the part where she doesn't want to see him. I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. But swimming hole part two, she meets up with Toby again at the swimming hole and she brings her swimsuit. He's just in his underwear. And she's like, it's exactly how I would have, how I imagined you. I'm like, why are you saying that out loud? Keep this stuff to yourself.
Because she's a teenage girl and like, sometimes you say stuff that you're like, I look back on stuff that I said where I'm just like, God, what's wrong with you?
So I don't think cringy. I ever would have looked at a half-naked guy and been like, that's exactly how I imagined you.
I wasn't bold enough to have said something
right?
like that.
Like, that's like, really ballsy.
No, yeah, very forward, yeah.
So they go swimming for a little bit and they start kind of kissing in the water and they're both like, this doesn't really feel wrong to be kissing and to be together.
I wonder why it doesn't feel wrong.
It's
like,
not wrong.
Purity culture is so bananas. Like, exactly. For real.
Like, what did they think it was going to feel like? But anyways, so they swim over to this cave and Dawn gets in and wraps herself in the sleeping bag that is already in the cave where you know people have been fucking in.
You gotta, ew.
As she's wrapping it around herself, I'm like, don't do it, don't do it. No!
You caught something on that blanket.
You caught something. You're sitting on it and you're wrapping yourself in it. So she gets into the cave and she's wrapping herself up and she's warming up and Toby's like, I'm cold. Let me come in.
Also, it should be said that when they go to the waterfall the first time,
yes,
that one of the girl friend points to the waterfall and says that like that's where people go to hook up basically, that's where people go to have sex. And so when she, like, they're making out, having a good old time, he does try to touch her boob and she's like, no, you know, like, kissing is fine, but like, don't do that, right? And he's like, okay, cool. But then the camera does like do a close up on his face because she swims away and swims to the waterfall.
Yeah. So in his eyes, it's kind of like, oh,
I think that's the movie telling us that like, he's like, oh, she's going to the place where they said that's where people have sex at.
Yeah.
Right.
So she's in the cave and he's like, I'm cold. Let me up. And she's like, no, stay in there.
Stay in the water alone, which again is weird.
Makes no sense. Why is she going into the cave alone? Why wouldn't you down there? You're hanging out.
Why wouldn't you just go back to the shore?
Exactly.
Like, and again, none of this, I know how it sounds.
It's not the problem with the people. These are not real people making real decisions.
We are not faulting the character for this situation.
Is a writing problem.
It is a writing problem.
And also just, this movie is going to get so intense soon that I feel like I'm latching on to every semblance of like naivete that I can until we have to start talking about the really triggering, horrible things.
Which is coming. And I do want to, reiterate that this movie, the sexual assault themes and rapes that happen in this movie are very upsetting to me.
They're like, well, and I was telling Keegan this because I know at the end of the episode of last week, I was like, yeah, like there's really intense scenes, but then like there's this, you know, payoff for it and all this stuff. And then watching it again yesterday, from the gynecology scene on, anytime there was any sort of assault, I could listen to it, but I was like looking down at my notes. I was like, I cannot.
Well, right. Because the scene we're about to get into, actually, like this first sexual assault that happens to Dawn.
Yeah.
This one in particular, like for me, it felt so real in terms of what I feel like happens all the time.
That's you exactly. What, yeah. Because the other ones are a bit more insane, a bit more movie-esque.
Right, and, I think not to say they don't happen, but like this one was something that I'm just
very,
like,
very real.
I feel like a lot of women and girls, myself included, can put themselves in this situation
100%
and have experienced something similar, and that's what makes it so like triggering and scary.
And it is like a date rape situation in this circumstance.
And he's supposed to
too.
Be a good guy. He's supposed to be a nice guy.
Be her future husband and all of this other stuff. So we are not supposed to think of him in this way. So he goes into the cave. She tells him not to get under the blanket with her. He does anyways. They start, you know, making out. They go to lie down. He tries to do more and she says no. He continues to try to force her and pressure her physically. And she's fighting back and they start to get into this scuffle to the point where he kind of like, they're laying down, but he kind of like shoves her and she hits her head on the ground of
right.
this cave.
And I feel like, I don't know if it's good writing or bad writing, right? Like this part, because the way that he's like, oh, no, are you okay? And then immediately goes back to assaulting her when it's very clear that she's not okay.
Well, I wonder if he's asking if she's okay in that way in case she was awake.
Yeah.
Or conscious. But then when he realizes she's not conscious, he doesn't have to put on that good guy face.
Right. Yeah. And he continues that even throughout the assault, because he continues saying,
it's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. God won't blame you. You're still a virgin in his eyes. And I also think that maybe part of him forcing it allowed him to have this cognitive dissonance where he was able to say, well, she didn't willingly like have sex with me. So she's still pure. You know, like I don't know if he thought about
it
that
critically. Sounds like he's trying to convince her that it's okay. I don't know. It's very, very upsetting. He continues to assault her, and then we hear a crack, and everything stops.
A crunch, if you will. Yes.
I mean, my subtitles had asterisks, crack, asterisks.
Oh, it's
it's loud.
That sound. Ooh.
And he pulls away, and all we see is an area of where he once had a penis, and it's no longer there.
And then there's just a little Vienna sausage on the ground, you know? Yeah, and they do show it, let me tell you.
Oh, they show a lot of severed penis in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. So I did want to say, when we were talking about this scene, because of the way that this film was received when it came out, it was received very well critically from like Sundance. So these like,
well,
very
it premiered at Sundance. She, the main actress, actually won a special award for her performance. Like, it did really, really well critically, but audiences
in the art.
Yes.
Film, art film realm,
world. Yeah.
But when it was released kind of like in a mainstream capacity, it didn't do very well. It barely recouped the $2 million, which $2 million is not a lot in box office.
No, and it made 2.3 and they spent $2 million.
Two, right. A lot of male critics specifically really missed the point in terms of a lot of these scenes and a lot of these like sexual assault themes.
Yeah.
And so I want to read this review or a snippet from this review from Jim Emerson, who was a film critic, talking about this scene. And he said, quote, because they're such unprincipled horn dogs who won't take no for an answer, the movie suggests they deserve what they get. Still, when Don's first full frontal victim looks down to find he's not even half the man he used to be, he Gross. Seems genuinely hurt by the rejection as much as the castration.
But in honestly, I don't see that at all, because I read that quote too and I was like, really?
And then he says, in a bloody, nightmarish, young, romantic way, it's kind of touching.
No, it's not.
To me, like,
he doesn't seem rejected to me at all.
You know, I kind of understand what the critic is saying, again, because of how it is filmed. I think it's because there was a male director and what he chose to focus on. I do think that, you know, focusing, doing that kind of like tight shot on Toby's face where he has that look of confusion and he's looking at Dawn like, why would you do this to me? Kind of thing that... You're missing the point of like, to me, watching that as a feminist in my early 30s, I'm seeing like, this is so many good guys don't understand that they're the villain. Exactly. Right. And like, that's what I'm seeing here. Yeah. This critic is seeing like, oh,
this boy got rejected.
Toby didn't know he was doing anything wrong. You know, that's, I genuinely feel like a lot of men might see this and think like, well, listen, that wasn't great, but he didn't deserve that.
We can't condone violence.
He didn't deserve to have his dick chomped off.
I mean, I beg to differ. No? You rape, you deserve to get your dick bitten off. I'm sorry.
You put something where it didn't belong.
Exactly. Later, I mean, it's a few scenes later, but it kind of still goes into this. She decides to go back to the cave to where it all happened, and she sees the peen with a freshwater crab crawling over it. Yeah,
just num, 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 num. You know?
And this leads her to then throwing her purity ring off a cliff. She's like, I am no longer pure.
Very dramatic. That was a very teenage girl thing to do.
Very much so. Oh, I threw a ring that, like, even, like, it wasn't even, like, a bad relationship. I broke up with a boyfriend in high school, and I threw a ring he gave me into a lake. I wasn't mad. Like, I was just like, fuck you.
A necklace a guy gave me on, same guy who I saw teeth at his house.
Funny.
He was away at college. He had given me a necklace, and, like, we weren't a thing anymore, and I was, like, pissed.
Yeah.
And I, like, drove across town.
Yep.
And gave it to his brother. Like, I was, I like, love it. I don't want this anymore. I don't need this anymore. Like,
I love it.
So dramatic.
I love it. Ridiculous. I would have done the same shit. All right. So then this is when she goes home and she decides that she wants to get a closer look at what's going on down there. And this is where I literally write in my notes, normalize looking at your genitals, for the love of God. Well, grab a mirror.
Normalize allowing people to understand their own fucking bodies. Like, I know. That was part of the like sex education scene that really upset me, is that it's just like, okay, so the men get to have an understanding of what their body is like.
Exactly.
And women don't get to have that. And for some reason, modesty should not even be in the conversation. Your own body is not immodest.
Well, and it's also anatomy. It's a scientific thing. You have to take that away.
How is your own nude body?
I know. Yeah.
Immodest.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that is so wild. Uh-huh. Like, even if you didn't want to educate the boys and girls, quote unquote, in the same room,
separate them. Yeah.
Separate them then. Don't,
is what they did with me in Catholic school. Right. They separated the boys and girls.
They separated us too. But I'm like, don't deny women and girls the right to understand their own bodies. That's so fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't really know what leads Dawn to do this, but after taking a look and finally seeing this diagram, that's what leads her to look into toothed vaginas on the internet. And this is the one question that I had as well. Why was she so focused on getting the sticker off of the health book textbook when the internet exists? And then she goes and Googles vagina dentata and all this stuff. I'm like, the internet has all the naked pictures you could ever need.
Yeah. But you know what? She didn't even Google vagina. Like, maybe she was worried about that. She Googled like abnormalities or something,
adaptations in something.
Sorry, that would pull up the Meryl Streep Nicolas Cage movie. It would not pull up pictures of toothed vaginas.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's very, 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 very weird how she even gets to that. But she eventually gets to this myth about vagina dentata. And when she's reading this, we're kind of hearing her inner monologue reading it, where it says, the story is always the same. The hero must do battle with the woman, the toothed creature, to break her power. Which is interesting, because then it kind of is feeding into that like hero dynamic that she already had in her mind of the man that she sleeps with being this like soulmate, hero, love of your life kind of thing. So now she's like, if I want to defeat this, I need a hero.
I need a man to help me defeat this.
Yeah.
Which I found upsetting. Again, I think that it is a product of having a man having written this movie.
Right.
Because if you look at vagina dentata on like other sources online now, like Wikipedia and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it actually says that vagina dentata in folklore was created, much like our conversations or what we speculate about the churl, was created to discourage rape. Like, that is why it exists.
Yeah, and it wasn't part of the story to conquer it. Right. Not in what I read, at least.
And I feel like for the purposes of this movie, which is a cautionary tale about not sexually assaulting people, introducing that would have been helpful. Like, I think that changing the narrative to focus it on
a hero,
men being the hero of this story, and, you know, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, it's not men who are the hero of this story. She's her own hero. Like, that is kind of what it is. But, like, even presenting it that way, I could see giving her options, and then maybe because she's the character she is,
she would choose that. Yes.
This very patriarchal kind of, like, worldview about vagina dentata.
Right.
But, like, to not even bring up that, like, a lot of the folklore, because it is actual folklore.
Yeah. And none of it really has that moral, which is why I thought it was interesting that they said the story always goes the same. And I was like, no, it doesn't. I didn't read anything like that.
It was definitely something that was written that the writer decided to put in, which I think was a mistake.
It's a huge mistake. Yeah. And you're not even being factual. Like, it's frustrating to me. But after she's kind of done her own self-discovery, she decides to go to a gynecologist, which, honestly, smart. Good move on her. She went to the wrong gynecologist.
Also, again, she's about to leave high school, I think. Like, parents, you didn't take her for a checkup before this? Come on.
You know, I don't know the first time I went to the gynecologist.
I was probably, like, 14 or 15.
I don't think I went until I was out of the house. I don't think really? My mom, mom, I'm sure you're listening. Let me know if you ever took me to a gynecologist. Well, I don't think we ever did that.
I had to go because I had really bad periods. So they took me early on, like, to try and, like, get me on something to help with those.
Right.
And then I had, like, lumps. And so, like, they went in and checked those and stuff like that. So I did go to the gynecologist in my teenage years. So, like,
yeah, I mean, maybe I did, I just don't remember. Maybe a regular doctor.
Also, I would ask my mom. I know that she's ill, but I'd be like, hey, mom, like, can you take me to the gynecologist? Like,
for real? I don't even know. Biking everywhere.
In fact, I don't even know if you're allowed to see a gynecologist, like, be alone in a room when you're under 18.
But maybe she's a senior in high school and she's 18. Maybe. I don't know. They're not being clear enough, obviously, in this movie.
Also, can we just say, and listen, no shade, but just personal preference, I don't want to go to a male gynecologist.
That was the first thing I wrote, is I was like, why on earth did she not ask for a female doctor? I have had male doctors who have had to give me examinations down there. I had, like, a few years.
I had one, and that was enough for me.
Oh, I had this urgent care doctor that I had to see a bunch when I was younger because I didn't have a regular doctor, and I was having this cycle of UTIs and yeast infections over and over again for, like, a year and a half, and it was awful. And I would always go to the same guy, and he was very, very sweet, and I trusted him, and everything was always fine with that. But for the most part, like, that was also when I was young enough before I'd experienced a lot of my trauma where that wasn't as big of an issue. I have a legitimate fear of the gynecologist. Like, I haven't been in probably, like, 4 years. It's really bad. Like, I am so scared of going to the gynecologist. So I didn't really watch this scene. I just listened to it, but I've seen it enough that I can still see everything in my head. But she goes to sit on the table, and he's just creepy. Like, he's trying to make her feel comfortable, but at the same time, like, you can tell this guy is, like, not a good guy, and you know what's going to happen.
Well, you know from the moment he asks her, like,
if she's sexually active.
And, well, before that, like, he gets very interested in the fact that she's never been to the gynecologist. Because at that moment, he knows
he can get away with stuff.
She doesn't know what to expect.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because, like, for me, if I go to the gynecologist and he's sticking his fingers up there, then I'm like, I know that that's not something that they do.
Yeah, he put the clipboard down as soon as she said it was her first time. And he's like, all right, lie back. Let's just start the examination then. I'm like, wait, no, what? Why are you putting the clipboard down?
That's not how this works.
Not how this works at all. So he immediately gets her down. She's in the stirrups and scooting down. And I am, like, wishing I could sew my vagina shut and my eyes shut all at the same time. And he starts giving her an examination. But then once she realizes this is clearly not an examination.
And she's in pain.
And she's in pain,
and he won't stop. That's another thing, which, look, gynecological exams are not comfortable. They're not comfortable.
But they shouldn't be legitimately painful unless you're having a procedure done.
And if they are, usually if you tell your doctor that you are in pain and you want to stop, they will stop.
Yeah.
So if they don't, there's something wrong.
That's assault. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. But I gotta say, because I have to bring up the comedic moments of this scene, because you have to. She fucking holds on. Like, he's got his hand in there, and
there's a grip.
There is a grip where he is trying to pull his hand out, and she is like, what the fuck is happening? There's like a fight on the table because he loses like,
all of his fingers.
Well, he loses four, I heard. So it's like everything but his thumb, maybe.
Yeah.
But eventually she releases, and he comes back, and he's missing most of his fingers, and he goes, it's true! Vagina dentata!
Yeah.
He says it like, dentata!
Yeah. And at that point, there's this other guy who's kind of been creeping on her through this entire movie.
Ryan, who goes to school.
And at this point, she doesn't know where to go because her mom is in the hospital at this point as well, because she got home and her mom had collapsed, took her to the hospital. So she has no one to go to. So she goes to this guy's garage.
But why? This is my thing.
No, we don't know.
I was actually in a short film, one of my very first short films when I started at our school. It was like the music video.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all to music, black and white, 35mm, words. I remember. Or anything. Yeah, I'm sure you do. But my scene that I did with Josh Krohn, who I don't know if he still listens or not, Angel. But is a great friend of ours. He was in the movie along with a couple other people. But the short was like, I get assaulted by my two male friends and then immediately go to my other male friend and then have sex with him and then I kill myself right afterwards.
Was it a male director?
Oh, yeah.
Of course it was.
Oh, and then in the beginning of the day, it was supposed to be like a live action anime kind of thing, but he didn't tell his building that we were using fake swords in the garage, so we got shut down. He's like, plan B, love story. His love story.
Go away.
And I was supposed to be like the little sister.
That's not a love story.
No, it was horrible. But I was 18. I didn't know that I could have a say when they changed things. Well, I was incredibly uncomfortable with
it. Again, it was a different time, too.
Yeah, like, it's...
Yeah.
Bad. It was like 2010, but it's awful.
Yeah, but that was a different world.
I know, for real. It's crazy. So yes, she flees the appointment and the one person, because what I always say is like, why after I've been assaulted, am I going to go to another man?
Well, I do think that she felt, I guess I do understand. I'm trying to think this through as she would think it through. Like the guy she was into, she killed on accident, which is really rough. Her mom is in the hospital. Her dad is in the hospital with her mom. Her brother is a piece of shit.
What about the two friends she went to the movie with? She doesn't know this Ryan guy very well. Yeah. They never hung out. Why is she going to him?
I thought about that because that's what I was going to say is like, I would go to my girlfriend, you know, the one girlfriend that's established that you have in this movie. But maybe having grown up in that like purity culture, maybe there's too much shame there. Maybe. For her to go to her. I don't know.
And she does go and start to confess to Ryan.
Oh, she fully confesses, by the way.
She tells him that she killed a guy, that she has teeth in her vagina.
And Ryan's like, okay, that's all right.
Yeah, he's like totally cool with it. And so after she's like told him all this, he's like, go get in the bath. And so she goes to take a bath.
It's weird.
And also, if you've just been assaulted, why are you telling her to take a bath? Tell her to go to the police and get it, you know.
No, it's very weird because she's saying, I want to go to the police. And he's No,
go tomorrow. Go tomorrow. Just take a bath. Relax.
Take this sedative.
He hands her these sedatives, which, by the way, are also red. There's a lot of like red imagery. He hands her these like two big red pills. And she takes them in the bath. And then she comes out and she's groggy. He drugged her. He sedated her. And she's sitting, you know, on his bed or whatever. She's just in the towel and she's like, where are my clothes? He fucking hid her clothes when she was in the bathtub, which is disgusting. And then hands her alcohol. She's already about to pass the fuck out. She starts drinking a little bit. And then...
This is how I always imagined it would be.
Yeah, which exactly.
Is fucking... Like, again, and this is something that the director now... will say was a mistake.
Yeah.
That this whole scene, the way it played out, was a mistake. It shouldn't have. I do think that in part it is a product of its time.
Yeah.
But I do
and
think
a product of a man writing it.
Right. But I do think that it undermines the entire movie because what happens now is she passes out.
Yeah.
She wakes up on the bed with...
And he's touching her.
He's touching her. He's touching her chest and he has a vibrator essentially and he is touching her.
Yeah.
And she, instead of the movie acknowledging, as it has up until this point,
that when she comes to, she freaks out.
And that her vagina dentata is activated as a biological response to being violated.
Right.
Right. It does not engage. In fact, it leads to consensual sex. Then that doesn't engage. But to me, what that says then is that the movie is saying that what he's doing to her is not assault.
Exactly.
Because if it was assault, her vagina dentata would have engaged, right? Her vagina dentata only engages when it's assault.
But I wonder if maybe there's something to do with the fact that she was drugged, where her mind isn't thinking as clearly, where that still wouldn't be, she wouldn't have that fear response. So maybe that's why it's not.
Maybe, but then I feel like that needs to be addressed somehow in the film, because otherwise I feel like there's this, especially because
her character changes too much too fast.
And I know the year that this was made, and I know that this like coercion wasn't considered sexual assault.
Yeah.
A lot of these things wouldn't have necessarily, as today we explicitly see them as like violence, assault, rape. We see them that way now. But like at the time, there was a lot of ambiguity around what is considered to be assault.
Sexual assault. Yeah, and, like, exactly.
I feel like the film should have taken a harder stance on like
100%. You know, like, especially if you're making a movie about that. You have to have very clear messages with all of that. I just couldn't believe this guy keeps condoms in a fucking mahogany box.
Oh my god, whatever. He definitely watched whatever. You remember that like pickup artist show?
Yes.
Like on MTV or VH1 or whatever. Like he definitely watched that.
Gross.
Yeah.
So they have consensual, I guess, quote unquote, consensual sex. She agrees to it eventually. Yeah. Yes. And then the next morning she's like, I gotta go to the police. And he's like, whips out the vibrator again. She's like, I guess I'll stay. And they start having sex. And in the middle of having sex, Ryan gets a phone call from his buddy that we've seen in the movie. And
anytime a man picks up the phone during.
Why would you ever?
Goodbye.
Why?
That's never happened to me. And if it ever fucking did,
I would leave immediately.
Immediately.
No.
No.
Not going to happen. Not on my watch. So he answers the phone. And while he's on the phone, he kind of lets it be known to Dawn that they had like a bet going that he couldn't like get her into bed,
right? Because she was known around school as like the purity queen.
Yeah, exactly. So as soon as she finds out that there was a bet going on, she engages and bites his peen off,
right? And this is the first time you see that she has control over it.
She has control.
Prior to this, it was a biological response that happened whenever she was threatened.
Yeah.
And now you see that, okay, when she wants to, she can control it.
Exactly.
And she does.
Oh, and I love this line. There's that crack. He's bleeding. He's screaming. She goes and like opens the garage door. And she just goes, some hero.
Yeah, because that's what he kept telling her. Because
I'm going to be the hero.
Yeah, before they actually have, before there's like penetrative sex, you know, she's like, hey, like, you really shouldn't do this. I've already like maybe killed two people with my dentured vagina. So I really don't think that this is a great idea. And he's like, I'm the hero of the story. Don't worry about it. I'm here. Because I think he thinks that this is some like purity fantasy that she's made up like in her head.
He definitely is playing to her beliefs in a way that's going to then make her have consensual sex with him, I think, in a way, by convincing her that this is a positive way to defeat this issue that you're having. It's not about having sex. It's about me helping you.
Right. And I think that he thinks that this issue is psychological. I don't think he thinks for a moment that she actually has teeth in her vagina.
No, because he seemed very shocked and had to call for his mother, which I think is hilarious. And I don't know. So there's like a little like cut to scene in there, and I don't know if it's Ryan or if it's Toby or what, but it's, I'm so glad they kept this little scene in the movie. Is it Ryan? Because the surgeon is holding the peen and he just goes, hardly seems worth it. And then all the other surgeons start laughing. I'm like, was that improv? Because it seems like a very improv like moment.
Very unprofessional, but also.
I see you. Exactly. So back at the house, Dawn's stepfather goes into Brad's room, the stepbrother's room, and tries to get him to leave the house. Because one thing we didn't mention, when the mother collapses, we see Brad and his girlfriend having sex in the background. With the door open. They were home. Yeah, with the door open. And we're home, and they heard that the mother was screaming and all this kind of stuff. So the dad is obviously very upset and asks his son to please leave the house. Since Brad is a piece of shit, he unleashes his mean dog on his dad.
Mother.
And while the dog is attacking, Brad confesses his love for Dawn.
Which is, again, it's so weird. He's like, why'd you have to marry her? Like, you made her my sister, and I was in love with her.
What?
And it's like, you were in love with her? You were six.
Yeah, like, and the dad looks very confused. I don't know. There is a lot of time between that first scene where she bit his finger to now, where I feel like there could have been a lot of things worked out. Like, the dad seems too confused by his response. But Brad is saying it like, you should know this, Dad. You did this to me. Married her. I loved her.
It's so weird.
So bizarre. And his girlfriend is still sitting in bed with him. Like, it's all very weird. She's like, what? You're in love with your sister? That's okay.
Oh, God. Sorry to everybody.
I know. Like, it's just, it's very weird. So the dad gets attacked by the dog. He's got like a big bite on his neck. And the girlfriend takes him to the hospital. Dawn then meets up with the family at the hospital where she finds out that her mother has passed away. Or no, she found out that her mother passed away the night before. I don't remember.
No, she found out then. But before the dad got there.
Right. Yeah. And then Melanie, the girlfriend, says to Dawn, like, I'm so sorry, you know, your brother told me that she does this all the time.
We heard her screaming, but he said that was normal.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And she felt really, really horrible for what had happened. And this kind of ignites this revenge plot in Dawn's mind, you know, kind of realizing her brother's affections for her and all this kind of stuff. She sees this as a way to get revenge on her brother. So she goes home, gets, you know, dressed in, you know, that white nightgown again, wears the worst turquoise eyeshadow I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
It's not a good look.
The one blue eyeshadow across the whole lid, no contour, no crease shade. It's not the best. You know?
But I did it a lot when I was, not in 2007.
And also, like, they show her putting, look, this is not important at all to the movie, but like, they show her putting mascara on, but like, later on I'm like, where'd it go?
Where's your mascara?
I just see eyeshadow. It's not good.
All you see is blue eyeshadow. So she comes in and starts to kind of seduce him and entice him. And while they're interacting, Brad brings up the kiddie pool incident from the start of the movie. And as he remembers that it wasn't her, and this is why I think that he didn't know, because it seems like during this conversation is when he realized it wasn't her mouth that bit his finger, but her vagina. Like, while they're having sex, he's like coming to this memory of the fact that it was the vagina that bit him and not the finger.
Well, I wasn't sure, because he's very hesitant. He doesn't want. Like, he
but even
tries
with his sister?
He tries to flip her over.
Oh.
And she flips herself back around, right, and kind of like makes him.
Yeah,
like,
do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it makes me wonder. I don't know. And like, this conversation makes me feel very gross, because
we're talking about siblings.
To me, it feels like siblings. I don't care. Like, they're quote unquote step siblings.
No, it's gross.
It's fucking gross.
It's really, really gross. But I see what she's doing and I appreciate it. Would I have made the same choices? No, I would have not.
No, she had a plan.
She had a plan. Mm-hmm. So she gets him right where she wants him and she bites his dick off. Mm-hmm. And in the most epic scene in the entire movie, you get the shot where it's just between her legs and then you just see it drop, piercing and all. Fun fact about that piercing, it was made out of sugar, especially for the movie, so the dog could eat it in the end and not get hurt.
Because yes, he does try to sick the dog on Dawn, and the dog doesn't go after her because there's a bloody peen on the floor.
Yeah, it's a nice little treat for the doggy at the end. Oh my God, it's so bad. It's so bad. And with this, Dawn runs away. She gets on her bike. She's like biking away. We see the nuclear power plant again. Why?
For what reason?
And she decides that she's running away. And at one point, the bike breaks down. She's picked up by this older man to hitchhike. She falls asleep in the passenger seat, which I guess at this point she can feel a little bit more comfortable because even if someone assaults her, she knows that she has...
She's got protection.
Protection, exactly. Mm-hmm. So she falls asleep, and when she wakes up, the guy kind of like, ugh, does that like snake tongue thing.
Oh, man. What was that audition like? It was probably just reels and reels, footage after footage.
Oh, no, I'm sure it was like some PA was like, I got a really creepy uncle. You want him?
Oh, like, That scene of that guy, like that clip of him.
Yeah, with like, the tongue.
Lived in my brain for too long.
Like, Me too. It's really, really horrifying. But she, you know, kind of looks at this guy and then she goes to open the door and he's locked her in. She can't get out. And she kind of like looks over to the camera and slowly smiles a little bit and then looks over at him and smiles.
And you know what's about to happen.
Is she just, I hope that part two would just be Dawn hitchhiking from car to car, taking care of every single rapist she finds along the way.
Well, listen, I mean, and that's the thing, like that's kind of the reason this movie has gone down as like a feminist horror classic.
Yeah.
Right. Like, that is the reason. Like, this is definitely fully within the good for her genre.
Yes.
of horror, right? Like, it is a avenging angel in a lot of ways. I mean, at the expense of her trauma, because we have to watch her go through a significant amount of like really horrific trauma.
Oh, I know. She's killing people. She's being raped. She's being assaulted. Well, there's all sorts of... And her mother is sick. And no matter, she can't trust anybody. Every single person she trusts assaults her.
I really felt about like how terrible Toby is. Like, he's awful, right?
Yeah.
You know, the first guy. But regardless of that, like... I mean, I think the movie kind of leads us to believe that this is the first person that she's had this like real infatuation with, who shares her belief system, yeah. Seemingly like all of those things. Like, she even says like, we're so in sync, like,
yeah.
And nobody else at school seems to understand her, regardless of how horrific the situation was or Toby's actions were. Living with the fact that like the first boy you ever had like a major crush on or infatuation with, you killed him.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you killed him.
It's pretty rough.
It's very rough. She's going fucking through it. But I do think that there is such a powerful message for people who have been assaulted, in that sense of taking your power back. Because although we cannot bite dicks off at the, you know, drop of a hat, I always think about Lorena Bobbitt when I think about this movie. Yeah. Because, you know, and I'm not saying violence is ever the answer, but I'm just saying that I think there is something that is very, is a positive message for women to be able to get their power back, whatever that means, after being assaulted or after losing trust or anything, yeah, like that. Even though she's kind of becoming, you know, like a Black Widow or like a villain, I guess, to become that, to me it's very symbolic for how we can learn to get our powers back after being violated in such an intense way.
Well, I think this movie resonated with a lot of young girls and women, women identifying people as well, because we're violated so often in such violent ways that there is a catharsis
to see the violence go back onto the perpetrator,
right? Yeah. Yes. And I think that that's also probably why, you know, you have so many different examples of what that could look like, right? You have like the Toby, like, good guy, you have the person in authority, the doctor, and then you have the almost cartoonish villain.
Yeah.
That is her stepbrother.
Yeah, we kind of had two Tobys. Ryan was kind of, yeah, similar, like, I'm the good guy.
Yeah, you've got two kind of like good guys, like,
yeah,
and then an authority figure and then a really bad guy. And I think that those, like, you've kind of covered a lot of bases in, yeah, terms of like bad guys.
Well, and then one thing that I think is
all kind of,
oh, we all know interacted guys with, like, yeah, them. Yeah. And then I also think that there's something powerful about the fact that if she's not being assaulted, she can enjoy sex.
Yes.
And I think that's another thing that was really important for that character and for people to see.
Hated the way they did it.
Yeah.
I hated that. Like,
He was assaulting her, which led into consensual sex. I wish it would have been just consensual sex the first time, and then the second time,
right?
He has the phone call.
I want for Dawn to have that. Like, yeah. I want her to know that, like, because that does make me worry about where she will end up, right? Because it's just like, I want her to know that sex can not only be physically pleasurable as she did experience, but it also can be like deep and meaningful and emotional, and like you can find connections.
And your teeth won't bite it if it's wanted.
And there are like really good guys out there, because again, every guy in this movie except her stepdad, who was a very questionable parent, but seemed to be a good guy.
Well,
to
he
her,
wasn't
at
like
least.
Assaulting her,
right?
Like,
that's where the bar is.
That's it's just the like, bar with this movie. He wasn't assaulting her, but he also wasn't keeping her safe by kicking Brad out. All this stuff.
He waited
sucks.
Way too late to like finally try and do something. That makes me very sad for Dawn, that like she has this, she doesn't have any examples. Like, she has no examples of
what a healthy sex life would be. But
healthy relationships with men at all.
Yeah. Just
you know, I hope that she like moved to the Pacific Northwest and she has like a wife and a family.
Like, that's legit what I'm hoping for.
Right?
I hope she's like living in Portland with like a sweet wife and some cats.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like living her best life. Her wife isn't going to assault her. It's all going to be great.
Yeah, she's going to rub her shoulders at night. They're going to have their own tea garden. That's what I was thinking. Like, fresh tea. Beautiful. I'm getting like,
I love that for Dawn.
I'm getting Practical Magic vibes, like a big house on like a water situation.
Ooh, I love that.
A greenhouse.
Yes.
Yes. I love that for her. Okay. Yes. We've decided that that's what happens.
Yes.
After this, she's just, you know, chopping dicks off along the way.
And then
she finally makes it to the Pacific Northwest.
She meets Sharon.
Yeah.
Oh. This sweet redheaded woman who works the local flower shop.
Yeah. Very cute. She gets a job at a diner.
Oh,
there's a lot of bandanas involved.
Yes.
I love it. Okay.
It's really great. She lives happily ever after. Why don't we write movies together?
I don't know,
this
but
is
like,
great.
I would watch that spinoff any day.
I love it. It's like there's no conflict. It's like just Dawn living happily. Mm-hmm. And we're like, I'm here for
That's what I put on when I just need to feel good.
Yeah. You let's know? Just watch Dawn be happy.
Occasionally, maybe she becomes a school teacher and she hears about like some asshole who's like assaulting one of her students and like, she does what she's got to do, like, occasionally.
She assaults a student to bite his dick off?
No. I'm talking about, like, her student comes to her and is
like... Oh, and she can give nice advice? See, the way you said it made me think she was going to take care of it, which I'm like, what?
No, she's going to take care of it. But I wasn't picturing another student.
Oh, I see. What are you condoning
here?
Listen, she's
got to continue to be the avenging angel. It's just, like, only on occasion. And the
only
rest of her
occasion.
Life is
yeah.
just, like, beautiful...
And perfect. And she's worked through all of her trauma. She's got a great therapist. It's like a whole thing. She's totally fine now. We have to believe that within ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, I hope for those of you who have never seen the movie, this was enjoyable for you. You had fun listening to it. Again, trigger warning in case you haven't seen the movie and you want to. It is very, very graphic. But if you did enjoy the movie or if you did watch it, I would really love to get all of your reactions to it as well. I think it's going to be very different than my friends' responses back in 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with our listeners. We would really, really love to hear
your
responses.
I will say, like, whoa. I watched it and I was just like, oh my God.
I know.
Like,
I know.
Throughout. So just a heads up, you know?
If this is like, oh, maybe I'll watch it again, just prepare yourself. Prepare yourself is all we're saying.
There's some messiness, which I feel we captured.
Yes. We talked about a lot of bitten off peens.
Yeah.
And severed peens. There's also a lot of like looking at where it used to be.
Yeah.
It's so much. It's so much.
A lot of bloody holes. You know.
All right. Let's stop
okay,
there.
Okay. We're done.
If there's anything that you would like for us to talk about in the future, please go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can rate and review us on the business page and chat with the other listeners on the group page. Last but not least, if you haven't done so already, we would really, really appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with a quick sentence about why you enjoy the show. It really helps us out so much. And we really appreciate it. All right, that's all we have for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye.